Well, good morning. It is great to see you all today. I don't always know what songs the team's going to sing. And yesterday I was really kind of taken back by that last song we just sang about hungering and thirsting after Jesus. And as I came up here, I didn't know how to begin. Because I can't say, well, let me back up a little bit. A few years ago, I remember someone came up to me and said, you know, I really don't need a pastor who struggles. You know, I want a pastor who doesn't struggle. And I don't know where you're going to go find that pastor, by the way. But there's times that I struggle with things. And it was really hard last night to sing that song, I want more of you, I hunger for you, I thirst for you. Because I got to tell you, at that point, I can't say I really was. Now, I know that I'm supposed to, but it was difficult to sing that song. And then to get up here and then have to talk. Because, you know, a lot of times when you know, in church, We're supposed to play games, right? We're supposed to act one way even though we kind of feel another way. I mean, isn't that what church is all about? Unfortunately, that's how it is often, though, isn't it? It's not how it's supposed to be. You know, we're real people. You know, you kick me, I'm going to kick. No, you kick me, I'm going to hurt. But I was struggling. You know, that song was a struggle. And it was really interesting because I watched through the night. I really felt I was probably talking more to me than I was the other folks. I felt my spirit change. So by the end of the service, I felt like I hungered for God more. And today, when we were singing that song, I felt as if I could really, that was my prayer. I want more of you, God. And I'm just being honest here. I struggle with that at times. And it's not so much that I don't want more of God. I don't make this conscious decision that, hey, I've had enough of Jesus. But I just get so caught up in stuff, good stuff, that I just lose focus on things. We've been working through this 1 Peter, and we're moving right along, right? This is the fifth week, and we're all the way up to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. I mean, we are flying through this book, and, you know, probably by the year 2016, we're going to be done with it. Today, we're going to take a huge step. We're going to go through it a lot quicker. But it's all been foundational. Peter's laying this book out. And he's talking about what needs to be foundational in a follower of Jesus. And he's talking about what Christ did, what God did. He talked about his work, how we're built on him, how he, by his great mercy, caused us to be born again into this living hope. And we talked about how God caused us to move into that. We talked how because of the Holy Spirit's work in his life, we now respond to him. But God initiated it. And now we have this living hope, this hope that nothing can take away from us, that God has it for us. Nothing can destroy it. He laid out this whole foundational thing. But sometimes we kind of want to just stop with that. Okay, I believe, I prayed a prayer, I'm good, that's it. And God says, no, it's not. It's not done. It's not good. Matter of fact, we oftentimes, and I think that's a problem a lot of times in the church, is we kind of want to stop there. But God says, no, I'm going to take you further. Matter of fact, now because of the work I've done in your life is now going to be orchestrated and moved to respond to that. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you what? Obey me. Now, we don't obey Jesus first, right? We don't say, okay, I'm going to obey you, Jesus, and now all of a sudden you love us, God, God says, no, I love you regardless of anything. Right? There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. Nothing you can do to make God love you and us. He just loves us. But as we experience his love, now we respond to him. And Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to obey me. Now we kind of like to, sometimes we get into some scriptures and they're kind of hard. And actually, Tripper, I'm going to flip-flop the first two slides, I think. I'm going to look at this first verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. Peter says, so prepare your minds for service and have self-control. I got that down. You all got that down, right? Prepare your minds for and have self-control. Well, we got self-control down. All your hope should be for the gift of grace that is, that will be yours when Christ Jesus is shown to you. Now you are obedient children of God. Do not live like you did in the past. You did not understand, so you did the evil things you wanted. But be holy in all you do, just as God, the one who called you, is holy. It's written in the scriptures, you must be holy, like I am holy. That's a fun one, huh? Be holy as I am holy. Got that one down, God. You know, sometimes I think in church, we would like to... Do you ever like to take a black marker and maybe just cross out some verses in the Bible? Let's watch this video here. If you felt that was sacrilegious at all, but I want you to know that no Bibles were hurt in the filming of this. Okay, but wouldn't we like to do that? There's scriptures we come upon that we'd like to just cross out. Hey, yeah, Jesus, you love me. I thank you for that. Oh, wait a minute. If I love you, I'm going to obey you. No, let's take that one out. It's almost like in churches, we tend to say, hey, I want to follow you. I want to claim to be a follower of you, but I don't want to be anything like you. There's a quote by Francis Chan in his book, Multiply. He says, yet somehow many have come to believe that a person can be a Christian without being like Christ, a follower who doesn't follow. How does this make any sense? Many people in the church have decided to take on the name of Christ and nothing else. This would be like Jesus walking up to the first disciples and saying, hey, would you guys mind identifying yourself with me in some way? Don't worry. I don't actually care if you do anything I do or change your lifestyle at all. I'm just looking for people who are willing to say they believe in me and call themselves Christians. Seriously? No one can really believe this is all it means to be a Christian. But why do so many people live this way? It appears that we've lost sight of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. See, we would like to take some of these verses and say, be holy like I am holy? God, what? Now, we understand it's Christ's righteousness in me that makes me righteous. It's not Jay. It's God who's holy in me, who sanctifies my life, makes me holy, sets me apart. It's nothing that I do. But you know, there is a response. The rest of chapter 1, I'm not going to go into reading it. It talks about Christ. It talked about what, again, he's laying down that faith foundation. He's going back to say it's because of Christ. It's because of his blood being shed. It's because of his gift of grace that he's given us. It goes on to talking about Christ as this living word, this messenger that was sent by God to show us the Father, this incorruptible word of God. It ends by talking about the authority that's in Scripture. You know, we find all about God in Scripture, and there is authority in Scripture. God wrote it and gave it to us. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of God will last forever. He's talking about His written Word there. The foundation of Jesus Himself and His written Word, it causes us, we have this foundation that we have. We're built in Jesus. We understand that. Peter goes into talking about all those things and laying it out again. The foundation is Jesus. But on each side of the Scripture, he has, "Be holy like I am holy." And then he says this in chapter 2, verse 1. "So then, rid yourselves of all evil, all lying, hypocrisy, jealousy, and evil speech. As newborn babes want milk, you should want the pure and simple teaching. By it you can mature in your salvation, because you have already examined and seen how good the Lord is." He's given us some instructions here. If we work backwards, because we've already, other scriptures will say that we've tasted of Jesus, we've already experienced him, because of what he's done, how he's offered ourselves, how we've come to know him, then it says, rid ourselves of evil. Crave what is good. Grow up, church. Now, he doesn't say, rid everything, crave, and grow up, and then you'll get to taste. He's saying, no, because of this, because of what Jesus has done in your life, because of what he's done in my life, I now respond to him. You know, once you get up to be my age and older, you start thinking about some things. You're realizing that life isn't as long as you thought it was going to be, and it's getting shorter. And you know what I find a lot of people my age start doing? They start reading the Bible more. You know why they do that? You know why we do that? Well, we know the final exam's coming. We better prepare. No? Not funny? I tried. How about this here? I got a cup up here now. My lead pastor has a cup. Yeah. I understand why now. I've got this cough, this tickle, and I need it sometimes just to go on to the next thing. But I want to be like Greg. You want to be like Mike? I want to be like Greg. It's not so much this focus that Jesus is coming back, so we prepare because he's coming back sometime. It's not so much that we know that he's coming again. He says he's coming again, and I'm looking forward to when he's coming again. So I'm not trying to get my life in order because he's coming back. I want to change my life because I've tasted of Jesus. Since we have tasted Jesus, we focus on who is coming back. Jesus, whom we have experienced. So the first thing we look to do is we look to rid ourselves of evil. Rid yourselves of all evil, lying, hypocrisy, jelly. I did that earlier too. And peanut butter. No, jealousy. And evil speech. Rid yourself of it. It's a command to us. There's a responsibility. We've experienced Jesus, so now, he says, we have a part in this. Any of you try to do this? Rid yourself of all evil, get rid of the hypocrisy, Have you ever tried to do that? Man, we tend to fail miserably. Matter of fact, this is probably one of the reasons why a lot of people don't really like to come to church. We're all hypocrites in many ways, aren't we? Well, as Gandhi said, that Jesus I can deal with, it's his people I can't stand. Because God's looking to transform us and move us. So there's this kind of this consciousness that we need to look at. In a little while, I'm kind of lay that out there, get rid of it. I haven't told you how. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But this is what he's calling us to do. All throughout Scripture, you go into Matthew 7, Jesus is saying, why are you worrying about your brother's sin? He says, take the log out of your own eye first. Jesus is telling us that we need to do something here. Look at ourselves. Examine ourselves. God, help me with this here. Then you can help your brother. He tells us to grow up, right? He says, put these things aside in Ephesians. He says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. Speak truthfully to your neighbor. Don't sin. Don't anger in your sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry. You give the devil a foothold. If you steal, don't steal anymore. Do something useful with your hands so that you can share with those who are in need. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Colossians 3. Now you must rid yourself of all things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Don't lie to each other. You've taken off your old self with its practices. But you put on a new self. You're being renewed in the image, in the knowledge, in the image of your Creator. Jesus is saying, we need to be conscious of these things. We need to say, Holy Spirit, would you show me some things? Where is it that you want me to change? Because God wants us to be just like Jesus. Have the same mind, it says in Philippians 2, that Christ Jesus had. Prefer one another above yourself. Stop being so selfish. I promise you, we're going to get into talking a little bit about how to do that in a minute. But I need to take a drink here, so we're going to have a little word from our sponsor. Our sponsor today is City View Church, and let's check this out.
Okay, so the last thing we want to become is a church that pursues an exhaustive list of rules and regulations. But sometimes it's important to remind ourselves of a few things. Around here, we're more interested in giving a cold cup of water to a thirsty person than we are in drinking it ourselves. Around here, we're more interested in rubbing shoulders with people who have made plenty of mistakes than we are in standing next to people who pretend they haven't. In other words, the prostitute wins. The Pharisee does not. Around here, we're more interested in following an unpredictable Savior than we are in crawling after the expected and the routinely predictable. Around here, we're more interested in equipping you to live in the real world, a world that God created and loves, than we are in creating a Christian bubble. And just to be clear, we'll gladly search for one lost over 99 found every time. Around here, we're more interested in growing big people than we are in growing a big church. Around here, we're more interested in helping you discover a life of worship than we are in furthering a musical genre. And finally, around here, we're more interested in walking through life together than we are in watching each other from a safe distance. And we're very interested in showing you how this works. Friends, we are a community that is guided by these biblical values. They will guide every decision we make, every relationship we nurture, and every plan we conceive. This is the road we're choosing to travel, and you are invited to take the journey with us, because we'd love it if you joined us.
That's our desire. City View Church, there's a change of atmosphere and culture. We're becoming that. We're going to care with you. We're going to love with you. We're going to walk through life together with you. We're going to grow together. We're going to fail together. You know what? We're going to live life together. This is what God calls us to do. I know, Jay, you're just saying some rules here. Get rid of this anger. Get rid of all these things. Well, they're not the rules and regulations. There's no going to be any morality police standing at the door checking you in. We're just going to love on you as you love on others. So I believe that's what Christ wants us to do. That's brought to you by your sponsor today, City View Church. Number two, you should crave good. Crave what is good. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. Crave what is good. I shared with you, I was struggling last night. I wasn't really craving what was good, this hungering and thirsting after God. I was just kind of into it, kind of lost focus. Got to get up. I got to speak in front of other people. I got to get this ready. I got to do that. And I was just out there. And in this week, it's been like, you know, get up, leave the house at 7 in the morning, get back 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and just going, going, going. And wait a minute, where's the hunger for God? Crave what is good. Jesus told us what was good, right? Someone came up to him and said, good teachers, and he stopped them. Wait a minute. Why are you calling me good? For only God is good. So when it comes to craving good, who is it that we ought to be craving? Jesus. God. I'm reminded of a scripture in Revelation chapter 2. He's talking to the church. Jesus is talking to the church here. If you have a Bible, it's red lettered in here. But I have this against you. You left the love you had at the beginning. So remember where you were before you fell. Change your hearts and do what you did at first. If you do not change, I will come to you and I'll take your lampstand from its place. Jesus is saying to us here, hunger and thirst for him. I'm trying to remember the first time I really fell in love. When I was a teenager, I didn't really feel lovable. I didn't feel lovable I didn't think a girl could love me. At 15, I met my future wife, or actually we met earlier than that, but we started dating when we were 15, and I couldn't believe this beautiful girl, she was a woman then, a girl, liked me. Are you kidding? You know, I could not get enough of Adrian. I wanted to be with her all the time. Now, for those of you who are probably under 40, there was a time when there wasn't something that wasn't called caller ID, and there was no voicemail, and there was no answering machines. Culture shock, I get that, okay? But when I was 15 and I wanted to call Adrian, there wasn't any of that. So it wasn't let it ring four times and you leave a message. This one time, I remember, I wanted to talk to her, and I let the phone ring and ring and ring. I counted 50 rings before I hung up. I mean, I was desperate. I wanted to talk to her. I realized something else during that time. You know, when you hear the ring on your phone, you're listening to it, you know how many seconds there are between the rings? There's 4 seconds. I know that because I was counting the seconds. I was so anxious to talk to her. This girl who actually loved me in return, I didn't believe I was lovable. Remember the first time maybe you've experienced God's love? I can go back to it. I realized I sinned. I realized how I fell short. I realized how God saved me by saving his son, and Jesus really poured out his love for me by dying. Wow. Jesus is saying, remember that. Remember the first time you experienced and recognized his love. Some of you, it's been more recent. Some of us, it's been decades. You know, it's been over 4 decades for me now. I know I don't look like I'm anywhere near 40, but remembering that first love and how you craved God. You couldn't get enough of Him. I remember Kyle last year. He's reading the scripture and he's writing it all. He couldn't get enough of Jesus, could you? I hope you still can. Craving what is good. Third thing he said is we need to grow up spiritually. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Hungering for God and understanding that scripture plays a huge role in that. In many ways, it's scripture is where we find about the character of God. We find kind of the things that God commands of us. We see what it is that He longs for us. We see His love for us. And we've got other scriptures that tell us to grow up. 2 Corinthians 10, our hope is that your faith continues to grow. Our area of activity among you is greatly expanded so that we can preach the gospel in regions beyond you. I hope that you grow in Christ so more people see Jesus and are drawn to Him. I can tell you, that's a huge desire for us here at City View. We long for you to grow in such a way that people are drawn to Jesus and want to know Him because they've seen what Jesus is doing in your life. They've seen now as you're growing in Christ how you're putting off the evil that's there, the hypocrisy, the lying, the jealousy. Because it's no longer who you are anymore. You're not identified by that. You're identified with Christ because they see Christ in you. Ephesians 4:15, instead speaking the truth in love, will grow in all things, will grow up. He says earlier, will no longer be tossed to and fro like a boat on the water, but will grow in the Lord. But he says, speaking the truth in love that we may grow. See, we need other people around us to speak to us that truth, because sometimes we're not going to see the blemish. Sometimes we're not going to realize that we sneezed and we got it all over us. And we need a brother or sister to come, hey, go in the bathroom, take care of yourself. You know, seriously though, we need each other because there's things that we're not going to see. I can go back about 25 years ago. I had two brothers. One's a pastor. Another guy's a business guy in the area. And they pointed out something in my life. Being a little vulnerable with you here, I tended to be a manipulator at that point. I would tell people just enough to get them to sway my way so I could get them to go where I wanted them to go and do the things I wanted to do wrong. And they pointed it out to me. They spoke the truth to me in love. And I said, yeah, you're right. You guys walk with me through this. I got to tell you, if I have something come up and I want to share something with you, I'm going to lay all the cards out on the table. I'm not going to play this game with you. Either God's going to move in your life and you're going to say, yeah, I want to go this way, Jay, or sorry, Jay, I don't want anything to do it. I'm not going to manipulate you to do it. And I learned it 25 years ago. God changed this. He purged this out of my life because I had brothers who loved me enough to tell me the truth. Recently, I was speaking with someone else, and I started telling them some of the truth, and it came back to me that they felt I was judging them, not accepting them. And I said, I thought I knew you well enough to be able to tell you the truth. These are some things in your life that need to change. Because if you don't change, it's going to continue to harm you. And I don't want it to. You got to understand, I love you. And the response was, well, I love you too. Thank you. But that's the type of people we need to be. Speaking the truth in love so that we change. Colossians 1:10. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. That's what we long as a church that happens. I like the we's in there. We pray. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We ought to always thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you have for each other is increasing. Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples. How? By our love for one another. This is where we're going as a church. That's why we saw last night, Saturday night service, we broke the 60 barrier. 61 people, kids and adults. I'm amazed. Thank God for that. I don't care how big we grow. Remember the video? We want you to grow big in the Lord. We want you to grow strong in the Lord. Because it's not about numbers. It is about numbers because they represent souls. They represent people. But it's about you growing in the Lord. That's really what we're all about. Remember I told you how? This is the key. It really talks about life together. In Acts chapter 2, the apostle, Mark who wrote this. They spent their time learning the apostles' teaching, sharing, breaking bread, and praying together. All the believers were together and shared everything. They would sell their land and the things they owned and divide the money and give it to anyone who was in need. The believers met together in the temple every day, and they ate together in their homes, happy to share their food with joyful hearts. They praised God and were liked by all the people. Every day the Lord added to those who were being saved to the group of believers. See, that's the key. The key is knowing Jesus, being a part of his family, having the Spirit now indwell in us, and that we live together. We study the Apostles' Word. We break bread. We pray. We seek God corporately together. We live this community together so that we're able to speak to one another. Hey, brother, how about this? Hey, sister, consider this. I love you. I care about you. I don't want to see harm come to you. You know what was an interesting statement in that verse? And they were liked by everybody. When did you ever hear about the church being liked by everybody? I long for that. So that people outside the church say, there's something different there. They have really been impacted by Jesus. Look how they love each other. Look how they love the community that they're in. See, Jesus showed us love. In a sense, we prove our love for God as we love each other. We demonstrate our love back to God by the way we interact and care for each other and love each other. Another quote by Francis Chan here. True love is all about sacrifice for the sake of the ones you love. By this, we know love, that he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. That was Jesus, wasn't it? Jesus showed us how we live. He came because the Father sent him, and he demonstrated his love for us, and he laid it down for us. And see, true love is when we sacrificially lay down our lives for the betterment of others around us. That's what he longs for. When we understand love in this light, it's not difficult to understand that love for God and obedience to Jesus Christ cannot be separated. We can't say we just love God and that's it. If we truly love God, it's going to impact our life. We live this life together. And you know what? We walk out what Jesus said. If you love me, you'll obey me. We can't separate the two. God's love changes us from the inside out and redefines every aspect of our lives. I planned on having a little video of someone in the church to give a little testimony of that, but he was sick this week, so we weren't able to. Because you look at Kyle, you look at Jasmine, I can point to other people, and you can see how their lives have changed. Jasmine's not the same woman she was 6-8 months ago. She's a new creation in Christ. Some of those things from 6-8 months ago are coming to cause her a little trouble now. God will bring you through that. Because you're not the same person. You're growing in the Lord. Kyle's not the same person as he was a year ago, year and a half ago. He's completely different. He's growing. What about us? Are we changing? Michonne, have you changed at all recently? Has God brought you through? See, that's what it's about. I look back, I see Allie back there. And Allie, God's changing you. He's working in your life. That's what it's about. But it's about being in community together, to walk through those things together. That's how God designed it. Our culture is one that separates. If I go through a hard time, I isolate myself. You isolate yourself. That's not how he designed it. And he designed it so that we demonstrate our love for God by how we love other people. Now, it's not rules and regulations. It's a lifestyle. God's not going to change everything in your life at this moment. Clarence, you couldn't handle it. But he changes one thing at a time, doesn't he? He challenges you on that, and when you start to get through there, maybe he's going to point something else out to you. Look at Gene over here. He's not done with you yet either, is he, Gene? God's not done with you yet either, is it? You know, you've been there around. He's transforming you constantly. Each one of us, God is doing that too. But if we're honest, we have some struggles. There's some things that just aren't quite right with God. And he tells us to examine ourselves. Holy Spirit, look inside me. Show me what needs to change. I want to honor you. I want to change you. What I'd like you to do, I'm going to show a video in just a second here. Jars of Clay sings the song. And it's kind of a video about how sometimes it seems like we're living a dual life. For God a little bit, for the flesh a little bit. For God and Jesus, for myself. And we probably all do that to an extent. But you know what? God loves you enough that he refuses to leave you there. He wants you to examine those things and then allow him to deal with that through his Spirit and through community. Let's check out this video.
Yeah.
transformation to us. It's Him. He does it. He's the change agent. The Holy Spirit draws us. When we come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit is who comes and dwells in us and fills us. And He brings things into our mind and in our lives when we stop to focus on Him. You know, why aren't I hungering for You, Jesus? Why aren't I thirsty for You? What are the things that are getting in the way of our relationship? What's holding me back? When I have brothers and sisters around to care enough to say, hey, Jabe, you ought to consider this. It's how we were meant to live this life. You know, we're getting ready to take communion here. And every time we have communion, I tell you, you know, communion is a time that we rededicate our lives to Christ. It's a time that we ask for and receive God's forgiveness. It's a time that we look at where is it in the things of our life that we've put barriers up before God, and we confess it and say, God, I'm sorry. I should have known better. You know, He gives us some instruction in 1 Corinthians 11. These words can seem kind of harsh. Apostle Paul writes, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood and body of Jesus, of the Lord. But let the man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner drinks judgment to himself and is not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many of you are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with this world. Therefore, my brother, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If one is hungry, let him eat. And at least you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. It's interesting. Paul's saying, examine yourselves. You know, maybe you have this one hand that has faith on it, and then you have this other hand that has doubt. Examine that. What do the disciples do? Yes, Jesus, I do believe, but help my unbelief. You know, Lord, I speak the truth, but there's times I lie. Cleanse me from that. And that's what communion experience can be about. It can be a time of cleansing, about of getting right with God. God doesn't have to get right with us. He's always right. I like what Rick Warren said. God said it, that settles it. Regardless of what you believe about it, God said it, that settles it. We come to Him. He is faithful and just. He cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. When we come and we confess, and there's a place. Yeah, we came one time and we experienced that first time, and then we come again and again. Pick up our cross every day. Follow after Him. I'm going to invite you, when the worship team comes up, to come and take communion as you feel prepared. And if you don't want to take communion, you're not quite there yet, that's okay. Matter of fact, we're told we're better off not to necessarily take communion. But as we do every week, I'm just going to ask you for a minute, if you just close your eyes and bow your head. You know, maybe you're a person here who, you know, Jay, I heard what you said about that first love, experiencing God for the first time, going back to that. I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about there. You know, I can see the evidence of God in my life. He's done some things, but I don't know if I've experienced Him personally. I'd like to, though. I'd like to just talk about it and find a way that I can have a personal relationship with the Creator of everything, this God who loved me so much that He came and He died for me because of my sin. Get your eyes closed. I'm just going to ask one time, if you'd like to explore Jesus in a personal relationship, a personal way, I just going to ask if you just look at me. Look at me till our eyes connect. Thank you. And the rest of us here, maybe we've walked for Jesus for some time, but God is showing you a little bit that your left hand doesn't match your right hand. You've got some things that God's begun to do in your life, but there's some things that are holding you back, distractions, maybe sin, maybe different things in your life. And you want to say, you know, God, I want that to change. I want to live a life that's true to you. I want you to today sanctify that area. Today, make that area holy. I understand that tomorrow there may be more things, but for today, Lord, as the Holy Spirit has been talking to you, God has some things he wants to work on in your life. I'm just going to ask that you just take a step of faith and just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you for raising your hand. If there's anything that Pastor Greg or myself or others can sit and talk with you about and help walk through that, we want to do that. We want to walk through life with you. Lord, I thank you today for how you're working in our lives and how you've called us to be a community of believers who walk together in righteousness. When we fall, we pick each other up. Lord, today we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. As the band plays this song, I want you to feel that when you're ready, if you desire to take communion, to do so, if you've looked at your life and you've dealt with the issues that God's dealing with, even if you've begun to deal with them, it's okay to take. Communion is a celebration. We celebrate what God has done in our lives. He's given us life. That's joyous. That's awesome. So let's stand, and as you're